You are listening to The News Project, in studio. Brought to you by GNAT TV.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of GNAT TV's In-Depth Series. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director at GNAT TV's News Project, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today on Tuesday, November 2nd. It's also a great pleasure to be joined by two old friends. Welcome back. Well, we're going to welcome back to our virtual studio. Really pleased to have with us today Sarah Lang, who is the project manager for the Southern Vermont Economy Project, and also Jonathan Cooper, who is the Community and Economic Development Specialist for the Bennington County Regional Commission. Sarah, Jonathan, good to see you both again.
You too.
It's been too long, it seems like, but we're glad to have you with us today to talk about the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or CEDS, as I guess it's more frequently referred to. The Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy is a federally approved planning and action tool for strengthening area economies like the ones here in southern Vermont. Back in 2015, the General Assembly here in Vermont created the Southern Vermont Economic Development Zone. That includes the counties of Bennington County and Windham County, and also the town of Weston. And the Federal Economic Development Administration provided a substantial grant in 2017 to help create the Southern Vermont CEDS. And Jonathan, let me go to you first to help us get started here. Can you tell us a little bit more about what a CEDS is or what it does? Also about this important deadline that's coming up later on this month.
Sure. I'll begin with the deadline. We have entered a project submission phase, our annual project submission process, where we look to find out what's going on across southern Vermont. And we'll talk more about just what that is in a moment. But the thought is that we're here to collect some important information about ongoing community development and economic development initiatives across southern Vermont. And we have established a November 30th deadline for project submissions. It's an entirely online process. And so we'll refer to November 30th a bit more as we go along and explain a bit more about how to get there. But that's sort of the why we're here today. And one of the what's that we're talking about is the CEDS itself is oftentimes for organizations, it might be their first time engaging with it. And the thought is, as you pointed out, it is a federally aligned and funded tool. And the notion of alignment is that we're sort of looking at this broader area. You know, the federal government is looking at these bigger pictures, bigger chunks of turf than just a single county. And in southern Vermont, we have a chunk of turf that's even larger than Rhode Island. But we have even less than one-tenth of the population. So we know that we have a very rural area, and we need to align our efforts and align our resources as best we can from the federal to the state down to the local. And so that's why we see these two sort of service areas working together as we have over the years. That 2017 grant was one that sort of set us on a path that took about a year and a half to create the CEDS, which sort of came into being from a federal perspective in 2019. And we had gone through a robust public process, meetings in Wilmington, Manchester, Bennington, Brattleboro, Bellows Falls, and Rockingham, a number of people probably attended and might recall. And the goal there, when we finished up those meetings and worked with the consultant to come up with this document that we could refer to, use, and have sort of remain relevant to the next 5 years of our economy, so running through 2023, we came up with two notions: to strengthen business, to support people, and to look at that through five important objectives. That the notion of a CEDS is not to just state your principles and your values and leave it at that. It's to put together a roadmap for what we can do to bring those goals of strengthening business and supporting people to pass. And so really briefly, we had five objectives that I'll refer to here. The first was to increase our population. And that was something that we knew the Southern Vermont Economy Zone, sort of, we had a report that was issued in 2015, 2016, that said, oh my goodness, we're projecting population declines. We need to fix that. We can't grow our economy while decreasing our population. We need to improve infrastructure in a number of ways, business infrastructure, so we are more business ready, physical infrastructure, so that when businesses want to grow, they have what they need to do so, and social infrastructure, so that the important components of public life and community fabric remain intact and thriving, whether it's commissions, planning commissions having members, or select boards having members, or beyond that, to the things that make our towns and villages special places. And finally, we wanted to enhance our economic development capacity, knowing that we have entered a sort of new realm of scarce resources, and we want to have everybody with the sharpest tools, instead of tools that they have at their disposal, to bring those resources to bear when we have the opportunity. So that's, in a nutshell, sort of what this EDGE is about and why we're here today.
Well, Sarah, let me turn to you. How are some of these projects selected, and what types of organizations or types of projects do you typically tend to review?
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. So just to take a step back a little bit, this is our fourth year of project submissions for the Southern Vermont SEDS. And since 2019, we've had over 200 projects submitted, which is great to see. And the number each year of submitted projects grows. We ask people who have submitted in the past to submit updates, so we are sort of kept apprised of the happenings with their project, and you know, if there has been changes since last year's submission, that we understand what those changes are, what those improvements are, and you know, we're able to sort of direct them towards resources that are best for where their project is. And then also, we always have a handful of new projects, which is always exciting to see, because you know, we know there are so many things happening in our region, and having it sort of not formalized, but having it sort of submitted through this process really keeps all of the information, you know, neat and tidy, and access that information pretty easily. So the people or the entities that are submitting these projects are municipalities, nonprofits, volunteer organizations, for-profit. It's really sort of runs the gamut of the people and organization that participate in the economy. And so we have projects from Whitingham's water wastewater system to the sort of food market network across Vermont. So they really span a whole array of different topics. And like Jonathan mentioned, those five objectives really kind of cover all the things that are involved in a regional economy.
So I guess one question many folks who might be hearing this, might be asking themselves, well, what's the benefit that I get out of that? Is there some sort of monetary grant that comes along with that, or some kind of support or assistance that helps further that objective?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I'll ask Jonathan to touch on, before we get into that, touch on the shifting of the time frame. Normally, we're asking people to submit projects by early spring, but this is the first year that we've shifted the timeline to ask for projects to be submitted by the end of November. And I'll just have Jonathan kind of touch on why we did that, which will get to your question.
Sure thing. Thanks, Sarah. So this is new. Ordinarily, as Sarah said, we're looking at the early spring for submissions, and this year we're looking at late fall. And the question we get a lot is, what for? And, you know, we have seen with the federal response to the pandemic and, you know, an increased sort of focus on this calendar year. That's sort of how the original CARES Act response was looking at disbursement of the funding, was sort of at a calendar year interval. And we see that continuing perhaps for some time, especially as part of developing economic development capacity, has been that we're attuned to some of the exterior funding calendar timelines, and that the sort of end of year is an important one, both for the state, for the federal government, and for a number of the grant programs that the federal government supports, that many of our projects end up kicking the tires on or submitting applications for. It's one of those major elements of project funding that you want to have people be completely prepared for, because that external funding is so important to so much of the community and economic development work that goes on in a rural area, that goes on in our offices. And I think Sarah's leading up to sort of the reason why, the way to make the best use of a SEDS project submission.
Yeah, so, you know, with that changing timeline, we're really looking to align all of these processes. And that sort of gets to a question that we get a lot is there funding involved? You know, do I get some dollars for submitting to the SEDS project submission process? And the answer is no. The SEDS project submission process is really sort of an information gathering. And with sort of all that information we gather, our organizations have connections to regional and state agencies and have a pretty good understanding of what funding is currently available or will be coming down the pipeline. We're able to sort of match those projects to the funding and give that information to the organization that submitted and say, hey, you know, you should really be paying attention to X, Y, and Z grant because, you know, your project could be a good fit for that funding. And without knowing what their project is or where they are sort of in their project process, we wouldn't be able to give them that information. You know, it's sort of a give and take relationship. There is benefit for most federal and some state grants. Often ask if your project is aligned with the regional economy, which is basically asking, you know, does your region have a SEDS and does your project fit within the goals and objectives of that SEDS? And so by checking that box, yes, the project is aligned, it often gets you a few extras or bonus points towards your final tally of points in your grant application. So while there's not funding involved, it could help you get to that point pretty quickly.
And I can sort of add on to that, that what Sarah's articulated is there's the quantitative benefit of being able to check a box in an application where there's some points attached to criteria. There's also sort of the qualitative component of when we're able to make, when we make those connections for projects to external funders, to federal entities, you know, they get people calling all the time saying, just, what can I do with this? I think I have a project that fits. Can we hear more? And our federal colleagues have never been so busy with so many inquiries about project, about, you know, availability of funding. It's really helpful if a prospective applicant, like a project that submitted a SEDS, that submitted the project process of the SEDS, is sort of, here's an introduction and here's more of these ducks are in a row. And that can sort of help that initial introduction, those first conversations really move, as, you know, our federal colleagues have an obligation to everyone that knocks on the door. And so when it's a program, a community development project's turn to knock, we really like having them have a welcome basket, you might say, of sort of the nuts and bolts sort of ready to go to work through, to make the best use of everyone's time.
I was wondering, is there a limit to the number of projects you can approve or make them put on the short list, or is it kind of really pretty open-ended? You know, you could really, if you got 50 or 75 or 100 possibilities, they could all get a green light.
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's sort of two designations, I guess you could say, within the SEDS projects. The very basic sort of thing to understand is if you submit your SEDS project, if you submit your projects to the SEDS process and it's aligned with at least one of the objectives, then it's considered a SEDS project. You know, basically by submitting it, you're kind of in on the list. And then sort of maybe a baby step up from that is our vital project. That is a selection that is made by the project review committee, which is a committee of outside people. You know, no one on our two organizations are on that. We just sort of organize it for them. The SEDS committee reviews all of the projects and then chooses a number of projects to deem as vital. And that could be because that topic sort of in that year has sort of become alarming, or, you know, there's sort of this talk of a need of, you know, maybe for instance, more housing. So if there are housing projects submitted, then potentially that those could be deemed as vital. Or, you know, having sort of a large service region is something that's considered. So, you know, if your project does cover, you know, or serve all of southern Vermont, that could be seen as a vital need in our region. So there are a variety of things that the committee takes into account when they're choosing their vital projects, but it's chosen by this sort of outside committee. And, you know, I think the takeaway really is if you submit a SEDS project, it is considered part of the SEDS.
And the process by which an organization might go to kind of get this process started, they would reach out to the two of you or to one of your organizations and you kind of guide them from there. Is that how it works?
So we get a lot of inquiries and my connection did just drop out. So I think I know what this question's about. And we do get a lot of inquiries and we do work closely with a lot of submitters sort of as they're putting together the project, as they're sort of getting the materials together, a lot of questions about, oh, is this, am I reading this right? And we try to have the form, the submission form really be self-explanatory so people can see, oh, this is a way for me to engage with the content of the document than to see, yeah, my project does meet this. It is about this. And it isn't simply that we have a list of five things and say, are you increasing population? We know that there's more than one way to go about any given objective. And so we've come up with part of that. The reason that it took us that 18 months to get through that from grant to the approved EDA approved SEDS was that we were really working hard with the public, with consultants to get a sense of what are all the ways that we can go about improving our business infrastructure, you know, growing our population, knowing that there's myriad ways to do so, and giving as all of the organizations and businesses and nonprofits and municipalities and villages in our region an opportunity to say, yeah, what we're doing really is about this. It really can bring this to bear. So a lot of times we have those conversations, we help they sort of have an auditory, like a back and forth about a project and say, well, that seems like this, or that seems to match up with that. And then it's sort of encouraging people to, as they get through that application, to then include those attachments, maybe some of those plans where they've put them together or like early drafts of things, so that our review committee can look at that as well, because they really love to engage with sort of the nuts and bolts and the beams of the projects themselves.
I was wondering, is there like a timeline by which each one of these projects have to be sort of completed by or evaluated by, or are they fairly open-ended, or is it like, well, by this time next year, we have to have achieved X, or how does it work?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's fairly open-ended. I think maybe the one requirement that we ask of people submitting is that it's not a somebody oughta project. There needs to be a project lead that has, you know, in a sense, taken responsibility for this project. That's really kind of the only bar, I guess, that we set, is that, you know, if you're submitting it, it should be your organization that is saying, this is a project that we are working on. It could be just in sort of the exploratory phase, all the way through. It could be just sort of, we're maintaining this project. We've been doing it for years. It's working well. So there really isn't sort of a start date. It's more about sort of the taking of responsibility and that something is happening, whether you're exploring or you're, you know, seeking funding or you're just maintaining, you know, a well-oiled machine.
And I was wondering, how many projects have been filed so far this year, you know, given that you have this early deadline and, you know, the clock is ticking and all that. Only 28 days to go, I guess, before the deadline as we're talking here today. Have there been many that have been submitted so far, or are we not at the same pace as we were, let's say, a year or two ago?
Well, so you're right. In that, you know, projects, they tend to, like with most deadlines, increase in volume at the closer that we get. So I really appreciate the 28-day reference that, you know, we do have a clock, it's ticking. Ordinarily, we do have, when we first sort of announce that the project window is open, we're at about where we usually are, you know, a handful of early submitters. A lot of times organizations, they're going to have a meeting sometime in the next, you know, month, and they're going to talk about it then and sort of get everyone on board with the project submission process. I think that's a lot of why we see submissions coming in a little closer to the deadline than right off the bat. We've had a few of our previously submitted projects providing updates at this point, you know, because they are sort of continuing that momentum. We've had a few, I think, new initiatives coming in, but really one of the important things is that, you know, I think some of the organizations that we have had a lot of conversation with about making this something that's on their calendar, making sure that they're aware of it, is that we have, you know, that they're working on other applications that are really like what's going to really inform what they subsequently run through the SEDS. So that's a really big part of it, is again that alignment, so that when someone is working on an important application, we can then have the SEDS ready to go for them while the issue is still warm, and you know it's there, while they're still on the topic of, like, let's run it through this form and get this submission in. Sarah, was there anything you wanted to add to that one?
Yeah, Andrew, you put me on the spot, so I had to jump into our form collection to see how many were actually submitted. So we actually were this year. We kind of had a rolling submission. So we had a cutoff of sort of when projects need to be submitted to be included in the 2021 review. But then after that review, we opened the portal back up. And so there were some submissions this summer. And in the past couple of months, I think I counted 7 projects so far. But like Jonathan mentioned, you know, it's people are submitting up to the day, up to the deadline. And so I expect to see at least over 50, I'd say 50 to 70 projects submitted.
And we're feeling ambitious this year, in part because there has never been more attention paid to our economy, to our communities. We have, you know, through the righteous efforts of the Scott administration and the response from the federal government over the last 2 or 3 years, the last 2 years, we've seen, you know, a bevy of programs, and we know that more and more communities we see this attention being paid in our local media, and you know, in our news projects from around the region, that this is a time when so many communities and so many businesses and so many nonprofit organizations are thinking, what can we do? How can we tell our story? This is our time to act. Like we've heard the phrase once in a lifetime, once in a generation, et cetera. You know, hundreds of millions of dollars of federal aid through a number of different programs kind of coming into our region, that we have really high hopes for this year in project submissions, because we know so many organizations and entities are in the game in some way. And also that we're really trying to tell those stories more than we have in the past, because for so many organizations, like, it's been a make or break year. It's required pivots. It's required new investments. It's required creativity, stick-to-itiveness, and creativity. And those are the things that we want to celebrate as loudly as we can. You know, the SEDS project process helps to amplify that in some way, shine a light on some things. You know, this is the year for that. And it's kind of an exciting moment. I have some excitement around, you know, what I'd like to see in terms of project submissions this year, because I think we have the potential to really, have our biggest year to date, because I don't think there's ever been more going on to date.
How has the whole ARPA or American Rescue Plan Recovery Act impacted some of the thinking of some of these organizations that you may have been talking to? I mean, are some of them already getting some federal dollars through some of those programs or hoping to?
Yeah, I was going to bring up that I have added a question to our form, our submission form, and it is about ARPA funding. Again, for us, this is really just sort of an information collecting mechanism to understand, if, this project is being submitted, if this is, what your town is thinking of using some of the ARPA funds for, it's just a great sort of data point for us to understand. And I think the ARPA conversation, that conversations that are happening in communities in a way sort of is mirroring our SEDS project process. You know, I think generally we see submissions from, you know, sort of the regular towns that we see every year that engage in the process. My hope personally is that towns that are now being handed this money, you know, are going through sort of their own process of trying to identify projects to use the money on. And I'm hoping that there's sort of this recognition that, like, that is kind of what our SEDS project is like. And, you know, the sort of ARPA conversation is maybe helping frame some of those things that are happening in town in an easier format to then sort of put it through our SEDS project process. So I'm kind of hoping those two things are aligning. And if not this submission period, in the following submission periods, we'll be seeing hopefully a lot of projects that are going to be using the ARPA dollars.
So, you know, a hypothetical, say, Andrew, $13.25 million enhancement of a field house, say, in a certain hub of the North Shire, that's, you know, proposed articulating a multi-town sort of consortium, that would be an outstanding SEDS project. They don't get much better than that in terms of what you know, economic development at this level is looks like, how it works, how it can be as successful as it can be. And so I think, you know, that this is, we are seeing some really good thinking, you know, and that's a combination of, that's not just because of federal funding, and that's really the best projects. As we say, the best projects find funding. They don't come into being because of funding. And that's, you can really tell the difference between the projects that are kind of paper chasers and the projects that are brick by brick, built to last. And what's really exciting is when we're able to sort of engage, or when the SEDS is relevant to those initiatives, and that, you know, we're able to demonstrate through the project submission process just how relevant that is. You know, Sarah and I have planning backgrounds, you know, working at the Planning Commission. One of the things that we talk about all the time, whether we're in planning school or then out in the world, is how to plan in a way that doesn't lead to a document that sits on a shelf or in some online repository as a snapshot of where people were at the time, what they were thinking about. And the whole idea behind this project submission process, which is very distinct for a SEDS, it's not a requirement of the federal approval process that you have this project submission window that opens and committee that evaluates things. That's the stamp that we've put on it based on our predecessor SEDS that was just the Windham County, the Windham region from 2013 through 2018, where that was a really an exciting approach that kept the document relevant and really encouraged its uptake and its use. And it's one where you can really see that the SEDS reflected in the work that the community development entities were taking on, and vice versa. You could see the work reflected in the SEDS. So, you know, it's a great chance for us to engage with projects wherever they are, however formative they are, and to help really, you know, keep them where, like, on a, get that path lined up and really bring those things to bear, because that's the best part of the work for us.
I know you put together a video that summarizes a lot of this, and folks can find that where, Sarah, on the Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation website. There, it's part of your Knowledge Bites seminar series. Is that where they should go?
Exactly. Yep. If you go to BrattleboroDevelopment.com/knowledge-bites, you can find it there. And it's even if you just search it on our homepage, you'll be able to find it.
Okay. So if you're a member of an organization, I think you might have a project going on that would qualify, they could go there for in-depth information.
Exactly.
All right. Well, boy, there's an awful lot we could talk about. All those five objectives are all by themselves really fascinating subjects to discuss. And perhaps we'll have you both back again at some point where we'll drill down into a few of those. But like I said, we'll have to leave it there for today, but I wanted to thank both Sarah Lang of the Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation, Jonathan Cooper of the Bennington County Regional Commission for being with us and bringing us up to speed on the SEDS application project, deadline November 30th. So I guess get the keyboard out and start typing. Thank you all for being with us today. I hope you've found our program interesting, and we'll see you again the next time. Meanwhile, have a great day.
Thank you for listening local. For more local content, visit gnat.tv.